You're listening to talkingtrading.com.au. Share market expert interviews to fuel your profits, squash your fears, and drive you towards exceptional trading habits. It'll help you make the right decisions about what, when, and where to trade. Tune in anywhere, anytime. Now, let's get on with the show with Caroline Stephen.
Hi and welcome to today's show. I'm Caroline Stephen. Great to have you company just before the Easter Bunny comes. Young gun property investor Nan Nguyen joins us today to tell us the keys to his success. How did he become wealthy and what are some of the critical steps he has learned along the way? How important is the role of a mentor? And why does Nan say, if you're green, you're growing, if you're ripe, you're rotting? Maisie Minikin is a graduate of the 2012 Mentor Program who also has a real estate portfolio. She tells us why property and share trading fit well together and shares with us the similarities between investing in the two. Lady Louise Bedford tells us the power of making a decision in mind power and why you can only grow as far as your greatest fear. We also find out why it's called a bull and a bear market in trading trivia. But first up, here's the news for the week starting 7th of April with laser brain Chris Tate.
And now, Market Matters with Chris Tate.
Chris, what happened in the Aussie stock market last week?
Okay, big talking point. Apparently, every technology stock in the world fell out of bed. The driving impetus last week was the slippage in the NASDAQ, particularly in the technology issues, and that's had a flow-on effect into our market. The thing I'd probably like to emphasise, though, is that these falls, whilst they seem significant on the day, need to be put into some form of context. And the context for the NASDAQ, particularly NASDAQ 100, which is technology heavy, and that's where, you know, this hissy fit seems to be coming from, is that it has tripled since the GFC. So there's no law that says that stocks can't go down. And whenever stocks go down, this seems to frighten investors dramatically. Mm. But that's just par for the course. Sometimes they go up, sometimes they go down. So that's filtered through to us. And we had selling on Thursday and Friday, in anticipation of what the Americans might do tonight. So that's the major driving force for us at present.
What was the Yep.
That and the fact that China had a very bad day on Friday as well. And one of the things to note is that when China has a bad day, we tend to have a bad day as well. Once again, it is that because their economies are so intermingled, when they start to fall out of bed, we just roll over with them.
What were some hot, what were some cold sectors?
This is something I'm going to qualify because one of the things to note about hot and cold sectors is the way they're calculated is that they're a relative comparison. So think of it this way. You fall off the roof of a building and a friend of yours falls off the roof at the same time. They go into a tuck and accelerate past you. They're by definition a cold sector. You're by definition a hot sector. You're both going to hit the ground and go splat. So we need to be a little bit circumspect. So when we're looking at the hot sectors, if we run the analysis, we look at, we see financials excluding property trusts, ASX 100, 200, 300 industrials seem to be holding up better than most. And this is reflective of the fact that heavyweights in the local market are holding up. In the domestic market, we have the all ordinaries and we have the small all ordinaries. The small ords is all those little commodity-based stocks. In a running market, they run very, very hard. For the past 5 years, they've gone nowhere. But there has been this movement to quality. So you'd expect the top 100 to be doing well. In terms of things that people are dumping, it's things like consumer discretionary, consumer staples, energy, industrials, materials. Property trusts are still stuffed and have been since the GFC. So ASX 100 resources, 200 resources, 300 resources. And that's a feature of the fact that we're getting no movement in commodity prices. at all, which surprises me because with the Americans having a little bit of a hissy fit, I would have thought that gold would have started to move a little bit. But it really hasn't. It lost 40% last year and it's gone nowhere since.
Any patterns jump out from the charts?
The thing that concerns me, or not concerns me, that is a point of interest, is that all American markets at present appear toppy. They've pulled back from their highs. The NASDAQ 100 is still well short of its tech rec high, but it is still looking toppy as to where it was. So too is the Dow, the S&P 500. They're flat. They've got a little bit of support back at their February lows, but beyond that, it's pretty much open ground for them. Our market's just a different kettle of fish because our market's gone sideways for 5 years. So okay. We've been in a band between 51 and 5,500. So if we drop back into the band, it's no great problem.
Okay, so what advice would you have for traders this week?
That's an interesting question, actually. Mine is a sit-and-wait approach at present. I did have a series of contingent orders to go long various stocks, particularly technology issues. I've withdrawn all those from the US market for the time being. I would like this to settle down. One of the biggest mistakes people make is that they try and look to hit the bottom of a move. And Jesse Livermore, who was a famous speculator from the earliest 20th century, said that the most expensive parts of a move are the first 1/8 and the last 1/8. The implication being that those people who look for tops and bottoms always get churned up. One of the things with markets is they will be there tomorrow. So if you step out for a week, the market won't miss you and it will still be there. People have a belief that if they're not in the market doesn't exist. Well, it's somewhat egocentric and egotistical, but the market goes on without you, just as the world goes on without you. And my advice is always, when something's happening that you don't understand, step back and wait, because there will always be another opportunity.
Chris Tate, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Carolyn.
As a reward to you, our loyal listeners, we've created a special report called 50 Trading Tips to Fuel Your Profits. Go to talkingtrading.com.au/special report. The wisdom of our elite mastermind group is at your fingertips. Their practical hints will help you build your trading and create the extraordinary life you deserve. talkingtrading.com.au/special report. And now Mind Power with Louise Bedford.
To change your results, you don't have to change what you're doing. You have to change who you're being. You can only grow as far as your greatest fear. If you can't grow any further, you can't go any further. And here's the thing, often your biggest fear is the one that turns up disguised as the next big opportunity. You'll see it, you'll back away from it, and it will give you a butterflies in the stomach sort of feeling. You'll feel a little bit sick if you see that opportunity that can actually bust you through to the next level of income. If you want to walk through that door of opportunity and step into your greatness, then you really need to move through your fear and take a leap. And that is the big uncomfortable secret. So few people will tell you that. The fear that you're experiencing, it's not real. It's just uncomfortable. Reframe it. It's not fear. It's not going to kill you. You growing, shining, being the best you that you can be, that is the truth. And when you decide with every core of your being that this is the person you want to become, then your fear will fade away. Have you decided in your gut that you want to be a trader? Do you know the Latin root of the word decide? It means to cut away and to cut off all other possibilities. You'll need to cut away some parts of you that you can't afford to indulge anymore. And as soon as you've worked out that trading is for you, that will be much, much simpler. You might have to cut away some television time so that you can study. You might have to cut away some self-doubt or maybe some bad spending habits so you can save up your trading equity. Really, this is up to you now. There's nobody that you can blame. It is on your shoulders. But when you decide, when your awareness has shifted and you've made that decision, the decision to become an exceptional trader, I guarantee the opportunities will start to line up for you.
Naan Nguyen from Advance Property Strategies is a property entrepreneur from Brisbane. At only 23, he went into full-time investing, and 10 years later, he has now done over $20 million worth of real estate deals. He joins us today to share some of his secrets to wealth creation, which are applicable to investors of any category. Hi, Naan. Thanks for joining us. What's the fire in your belly?
That's a really good question, and I know that we've discussed it briefly before. It's one of those things that I find that achievement really drives me. There's two things. One is achievement, and the other thing is helping other people. And what I mean by achievement is, you know, you can't rest on your laurels. If you look at, you know, athletes, whether they win gold medals or world champions, is that if they stop doing what they're doing, then they basically, you know, deteriorate. It's like the guy who founded McDonald's, Ray Kroc. He said, if you're green, you're growing. If you're ripe, you're rotting. And I find that, you know, when I was 23, turning 24, and I stopped working, I thought it meant retirement, and I went fishing for a week, which is one of the things I love doing. And after the 7 days, I was bored. Like, I was so bored, and I thought, you know, I've got to go buy something, got to go do a deal, because that's what really makes me happy. And I find that when people have a purpose, they thrive. I believe that, you know, people have this vision of financial freedom, allows them to go on a cruise boat for the rest of their lives and retire. And you know what, that for me, retirement is not what it's about. It's about being able purpose. To pursue your dreams. Yeah, purpose. And for me, I love doing deals. I love challenges. And it's always about stretching yourself and see how you can do things better, faster, more efficiently with less resources.
How important has education been to your success?
I think education is critical. Education is a big part of it. However, it's only one part of it. People think that, you know, if you get education, it will solve your problems. It will make you more money. I believe it's only one part of it. It is a critical part, but the other critical part is taking massive action. I have a saying that says that too much information without action gives you constipation. So we haven't vetted to that yet, but what I mean by that is it's you need to process everything that goes in your head and apply it. People often read a book about personal development and they don't do anything about it. I say to people, read one chapter and take 3 action steps. So you know, if it inspires you to go start a new business, sell a house, sell your car, clear out your rubbish in your life, just go do it. And the actions that gives you results.
When you say 3 action steps, are they small?
I think, you know, it just really relates to where they are in their lives. So if you're starting out, you know, investing, whether it's in shares or property, definitely you're starting out, so take 3 small steps, but keep taking action. If you take 3 new action steps every day, after 7 days, that's 20 odd. After a year, you know, that's 1,000 action steps that will compound.
How important have mentors been to you?
Yeah, mentors I find are critical. I have several mentors in various areas of my life. And the thing about investing, whether it's in businesses, shares or property, is that I believe you have to remain humble and you always got to think that other people know more than you. And, you know, if you're climbing a mountain, you got to get those other people who have climbed that mountain before. And if you're arrogant enough to think that you're Superman, like I have done before, that's when you start falling over. You know, because I have fallen over many times and gotten back up, I've realized that, you know, there's people who make a lot more money than me and I need to be humble and learn from them. You know, one of my mentors, who his name's Dr. Lee Lua, he owns medical centers and he's also a prolific property investor. You know, this guy, his business turnover is about, you know, $5 to $6 million a year in his cosmetic businesses, and I'm always listening to how he overcomes challenges, how he deals with making more money, what personal challenges he deals with, and always being open to, okay, what can I learn from him? Because everything he says is a gem. And you know, I've got various other mentors in other areas like property development, in health, in spirituality, in relationships, because you know, life's not just about money. It's about all the things in your life working together to create a fulfilled life.
How much is helping other people a motivating factor?
Yeah, it's a very interesting question. One of the things that I found in property development is I can't do it full time. I don't enjoy it to the fact that I could do it 40 to 60 hours a week. That's not what really drives me. I like doing it as a business, yes, but also being able to walk away and do it 20 hours a week for me is fine. So the other half, I've had to find a thing that really fulfills other passions in my life, which is helping people. Why is that? And it sounds a bit rhetorical, but I found that with all the mentors that have helped me, I need to give back. It's just one of those things. And because I've also made a lot of mistakes, I've made a lot of money in property, also made a lot of mistakes that have been painful. I don't want people to go through that same pain.
What are a few of the keys to your success that would apply to traders as well?
I think the biggest fear that people have is of uncertainty. So the distinction that applies across the board is a distinction called fail fast. Robert Kiyosaki talks about that, and making a lot of small inconsequential mistakes that don't cost a lot of money. They talk about paper trading. I do believe in paper trading is great. However, at some stage, you're just going to have to put some money on the line, but make it a small amount of mistakes, whether it's $1,000 at a time or $10,000 at a time, whichever relates to your circumstances. So fail fast, make mistakes, make a lot of small mistakes, because your financial intelligence goes up significantly when the cash goes hard, is the saying. So go out there and make small mistakes and ongoingly pick yourself up, knowing that making mistakes is part of the process.
Do you have free resources you can offer our listeners?
Absolutely. For those who are interested in learning more about No Money Down deals, I have a free DVD valued at $97 that you can get from just going to my website, advancedpropertystrategies.com, advancedpropertystrategies.com. Just go to the website, fill in your details in, we'll send you out a free DVD valued at $97 about how to do property deals, no money down.
Nan Nguyen, thanks for your time.
Excellent. Thanks, Caroline. Thanks for having me.
You can hear Nan Nguyen speaking on property at Real Estate Talk with Kevin Turner. Listen when you like, on your laptop or any mobile device. Hear property investment news, tips and strategies from Australasia's most respected real estate investing experts. Each week, Kevin and his team take a fresh look at the property market, get all the facts so you can make the right property investment decisions. Subscribe free at realestatetalk.com.au. Your trusted voice in property investment. Last week's trivia question was, where do the terms bull and bear market originate? Well, a bull knocks you up in the air and a bear knocks you down. During the 17th century in Europe, there were some proverbs floating around about bears. Yep, those guys. In Germany, they said, don't sell the bear skin before you killed the bear. In Holland, they said, don't sell the bear skin before the bear is dead. And in England, they said, don't sell the bear skin before the bear is caught. And in all cases, they said the same thing. Don't sell something you don't have. There had to be an alternative animal to the bear. And the bull was a natural contrast. It's an animal that charges ahead, moves forward, and is strong and powerful, just like a rising stock market. Next week's trivia question is, where was the first modern stock market formed? Be the first to answer me and win Malcolm Bish's special report on how he beat 10,000 other traders and won the ASX share market game. Email your answers to caroline@talkingtrading.com.au. Graduate of the 2012 Trading Game Mentor Program, Maisie Minikin is also an investor of a real estate portfolio. She joins us now to tell us the differences between share trading and real estate, as well as the similarities. Maisie's a girl who invests wisely with patience, but who also wants to wear her diamonds too.
I invest in both property and shares because I see them fitting together very nicely. I see that property investment is a long-term game that will hold a lot of my capital, whereas shares is the short-term gain that will hopefully spread out a lot of income where I can buy my diamonds, either diamonds or big lump sums of capital that I can put in back into the property investing business. Also too, shares and property share a lot of the same types of criteria, and there is language that is quite interchangeable between the two vehicles. Things like knowing how to control leverage.
Yep.
I trade CFDs. Obviously, property comes with leverage because that's how I use property. I do use a lot of leverage with my property. I see which markets are trending, whether it is an equity market or whether it's an FX market, that is the trend. You put your money where the trend is going. But in the property sector, it could be a geographical market, that if Melbourne is trending or Sydney is trending, that's where you put your money. So there's a common thread there as well.
Okay, so that's leverage, watching your trend. Anything else?
Your entry points and your exit points, which mm-hmm. comes into your trend. So basically with share trading, I see when I enter, mm-hmm. And it's the timing of the property cycle as well as when you enter and when you exit. Mm-hmm. With both, you need to know when you need to get out, mm-hmm. and what will trigger that. And I approach both as a business, and both need a plan, whether it's a trading plan or whether it's a property plan.
How have you grown as an investor doing both?
I think my self-confidence has increased quite a lot, because you kind of swim against the societal tide by sort of investing or trying to just to be independently wealthy and not have to rely on a job.
What's your big why in becoming an investor?
The reason why I do this is that it's not about the money. It's actually about the time. That is something that is a commodity, the only commodity in the world that you cannot replicate. I want time back with my family. I want to be able to dictate how I spend my time, not how somebody else would like to spend my time. I would like that flexibility, and whether it's to spend it with my family, which I dearly love to do, or whether it's to investigate other areas like philanthropic type areas, which hopefully that's where I'm heading to in the future. And also to, in the long-term future for my children, if they had a very, very solid financial foundation, that will enable them to go and pursue their passions without having any regard, hopefully not as much regard to trying to earn a living to put food on the table.
I first met you up at Michael Yardney's Wealth Retreat 12 months ago. How did Wealth Retreat help you?
Wealth Retreat was an eye-opener. Basically, with my property investing, I had become the biggest fish in my pond. Going to Wealth Retreat was like I was a minnow. I was all of a sudden the smallest fish in a very, very big pond, and it opened my eyes to sort of see what other people were doing, and that I hadn't actually reached the level I thought I had. And it just really took my property investing to a whole different level.
Maisie Minikin, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Carolyn.
That's all we have for you today. I'd like to thank our contributors, Young Gun Na Nguyen, Maisie Minikin, Lady Louise Bedford, and Chris Tate. We hope you all have a lovely Easter. Tune in next week to listen to trader Mark Bull speak on trading and self-reliance. With a name like Bull, his interview is definitely one to tune into. I'm Caroline Stephen, and on behalf of the team, thanks for joining us. See you next time.
You've been listening to talkingtrading.com.au with Caroline Stephen. Make sure you are subscribed to this website to receive the very latest market views, commentary, and expert opinion. Tune in next week as we've got a bumper show planned. Bye for now.
The views represented on Talking Trading are general in nature and do not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Before acting on any information, consider its appropriateness in regard to your own situation.